three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Joining us now is the Green Bay Packers' new head coach, Matt LaFleur on Wilde and Tauscher.
Packers Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher.
Matt LaFleur, Matt Nagy, and Matt Patricia. Who is the most famous non-NFC North head coach not named Matt? No, I'm sorry.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio at ESPN Madison.
Who is the most famous non-NFC North head coach named Matt? Matt Damon, Matt Ryan, somebody else.
And celebrating 10 great years on ESPN Wisconsin.
Can you repeat that question?
Sorry.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now. The rain has ceased and desisted for now, but apparently we're going to get some more up here in Green Bay, so the Packers continue to practice inside the Don Hutson Center. And Tausch, this is a guy we spent a lot of time talking about. He has not spent a lot of time on the football field, but watching Marshawn Lloyd go through drills, I can see why they continue to be patient and hopeful and smitten with his potential, because he is sudden. He is explosive. He's just not healthy very often. And if they can somehow figure that out, like you, I'm sure you remember guys that you played with that when you just watch them burst through a crease in the offensive line or sprint at another gear past a DB to get open. Like, you're like, that's different. That's not everybody can do that. And
he's that.
He has that. We haven't seen it, obviously, on the game field. I think he had 6 carries for 15 yards last year in preseason play. And
he had that one catch down the sideline.
And he had the one catch for
Indy?
Yep. 33 yards. Yep. Exactly. Yep. And then we didn't see him again. I think he's basically played in 3 games. Played in a preseason game last year, played in a preseason game in Denver 2 years ago, and played in the one game against Indy in the regular season in 2024, and got hurt in that one too. So again, I understand people's reservations about him, but I totally get the siren song of potential that these guys feel. But again, he's got to do it, right? I mean, potential gets you fired, as you've taught me many times.
Indeed. And it's exciting to see that he's out there. I think this is going to be one of those, you have to continue to prove that you can stay healthy over and over before we really get super excited about where Marshawn Lloyd is. So it's great that he's explosive. Obviously, the Packers saw that. We saw it in a very small glimpse. But just like we were talking about Lucas Van Ness, the odds of being able to stay healthy when you've had all of these injury history, it gets tougher and tougher as you get older. And as you continue to kind of, you're rehabbing from one thing and then something else pops up. And it's a frustrating deal. You just want to see him get a chance to really grow and start figuring things out, because unfortunately so much of your time and emotional capacity is utilized on rehabbing and just getting out there. It doesn't allow you to really be the athlete and the performer that you want to be. So all of this stuff is great, but I'm not going to get excited until we see him get 2 or 3 weeks of training camp without, he's got to take this day or he's got to do that. You got to start seeing it. He's got to stack some days and stack some success to get some confidence, both for himself, but also for this staff and for his teammates to know that they can count on him, because talent is great and it gives you all these opportunities. If he wasn't this talented, he wouldn't be in the league anymore. He obviously has that talent that gives you the runway to have a couple of injuries and more chances to showcase it, but I'm guessing his time in Green Bay, this is a huge training camp and preseason for him to show that he can stay healthy and to show off the talent that he obviously has.
All right, I have another player that they are excited about and hopeful about. And I am not, since I like to always say what I'm not doing right before I get clipped by Cheesehead TV. I am not comparing him to one Mark Gerald Tauscher. I'm definitely not doing that. But he is a rookie day three pick who plays on the offensive line that there is some genuine buzz about. And Matt LaFleur did nothing to tamp down that buzz. I will tell you who he is, and we'll talk about him after Tausch tells us about American Family Insurance.
Proud partner of Wilde and Tausch from the jump, and since 1927, they've been committed to making life better, and I can appreciate that. Football, you build something that lasts by protecting what matters most. It's no different at home. With the right home and auto coverage from American Family Insurance, you've got protection you can count on, so you're free to focus on your family and the dreams that you're chasing. Insure carefully and dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance.
More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Packers starting some 11-on-11 work, and a deep strike from Jordan Love to Jaden Reed, who had Edgerrin Cooper in coverage, and he cooked Edgerrin Cooper. So as good as Edgerrin Cooper is, and as athletic as he is, and as fast as he is for a linebacker, he could not catch up to Jaden Reed for what appeared to be about a 70-yard touchdown, with Jordan Love throwing on the run, moving to his left and going deep to his right to Jaden Reed. And blocking on that play at left guard with Aaron Banks not participating, also committing a false start penalty now, so he's either going to get booted or at least be assessed a 5-yard penalty. Welcome to life as a rookie. It is Jagger Burton. Tausch, a Jagger bomb from Matt LaFleur this morning. This is from Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette, handling the video responsibilities. Matt LaFleur asked about Jagger Burton, who worked at right guard in OTAs last week, and this week is working at left guard without Aaron Banks.
Yeah, I see a really young guy that's extremely coachable, athletic, and makes maximizing most of his opportunities. So I think every practice he gets a little bit more comfortable, a little bit better, and I can see him. He's definitely going to be in the mix to compete for playing time this year.
Matt, even though there's obviously aspects to offensive and defensive line play in this setting that aren't great, what's the value for him to get that much work?
Well, I think it's more so just the knowledge of making sure we're, you know, how we're targeting up front, working the combination blocks, just so, it's a great, introduction for these guys in the preparation for training camp when, you know, the evaluations really count.
That sound you hear in the background is the pouring rain that was hitting the roof of the Hudson Center while Matt LaFleur was talking. The two plays after the touchdown to Reed, Jordan Love throws an interception as Javon Bullard makes a ridiculous INT on a pass intended for Christian Watson. So, Tausch, you obviously are the gold standard for a rookie offensive lineman who was not drafted in the first round to come in and play like an NFL player. Jagger Burton, as you just heard Matt LaFleur say, will definitely be challenging for playing time this year as a fifth-round pick out of Kentucky. When he says that,
obviously, you know me and everyone else that is standing around during that conversation, our ears perk up big time, and suddenly now we're thinking of Jagger Burton in a very different way. What does it mean that he's getting these opportunities now? And what does he have to do next to continue this? Because it's one thing to do it here in shorts, jerseys, and helmets. It's going to be another thing, as Matt LaFleur mentioned at the end there, to do it in training camp when they're really evaluating.
Yeah, the big thing on his end is to believe that he can do it. And it sounds as if that's the case, because I do think there's a, you know, especially when you're a later pick, your goal when you get drafted fifth, sixth, seventh round is I'm going to make the team. And then you start stacking it and you're saying, okay, I'm going to make the team. Now I want to start or I want to play. And you have to kind of go about your business in a way that is, I'm not going to take anything for granted. I'm going to be at everything. I'm going to do everything right. And what you want to hear, and you heard LaFleur say this, being coachable. Coaches love it, because for veteran players, it's you're going to go through the thing and then guys are going to figure it out. You get, it's almost, you get to refresh a coach by being new, and you have a kind of a new project that you get to work with. And that coach kind of takes that part in, and that's good on his end. But the biggest thing you do, and I don't know how many times I've said this, probably 10,000 times in our 10 years, you have to earn coaches' trust. Coaches don't sleep. Coaches want to be able to sleep at night. And if Jagger Burton is going to be one of those five, I need to know, man, at practice, he's going to be the same guy. In a game, he's going to be the same guy. And I know what I'm getting. And, you know, whether it's Banks or Sean Ryan or whoever is going to be that guy that you're battling with, you want the coaches to know that they're going to get maximum effort. You're going to have a guy that studies and knows what he's supposed to do, and he can be trusted. And by all accounts, for him to make that kind of a mark this early and to get thrown into the mix in a group that we kind of thought the five guys mm-hmm. were set, sounds as if that is definitely up for debate. And you, as a rookie, you just want to keep that debate going. You don't want any books closed. You want it to continue, and you want to make it incredibly difficult for a coach to say, boy, he's done everything right. We got to put him out there. And once you can get out there, then you show what you can do. And again, this is mini camps and non-padded. Mm-hmm. But to make that mark and to be in the mix, as LaFleur was saying it, that's all you're looking for throughout this. And then you just, let's get me to July, and I'm going to show you what I really can do when I throw pads on. Once you do that and you get in, you start gaining more reps. Those reps are so, especially now, so valuable with pads on. You better take advantage of them, because it seems as if the opportunity is there for Jagger Burton to snap one of these spots up. And if he's ready for it, I think the Packers are open to having that happen.
Two other things on this. One, the fact that LaFleur said what he did, big deal, little deal, or no deal.
Because
he could have, yeah, right?
Deal.
Right. Because he could have just said, yeah, he's been great, but, you know, we're banged up front. We're just giving him some opportunities.
Or he could have called him by the wrong name. Yeah, I don't even know who that is out there.
Dominique.
Yeah, I don't know. Is that Clay Matthews? Yeah. No, it's always, there's times that coaches kind of feel like they have to say something. And then there's times when coaches will go out of their way to say something. And when they go out of their way to say something, that means they can barely hide their excitement mm-hmm. for what this player is. That was I'm going to go out of my way to make this statement about a young offensive lineman, which is pretty awesome when you're Jagger Burton.
All right. And the other thing, obviously you were at Wisconsin for 5 years. You get your opportunity, your final year there, right? Jagger Burton will turn 24 before the season begins. His birthday is in late August. Now, look, players, everybody's different. So Brian Bulaga was 20 years old when he was a rookie, and when you suffered your injury, he was ready to step in, and he played at a solid level as a rookie. Does it help, though, if you're going to be thrown into the deep end of the ocean as a rookie offensive lineman to be more mature? I mean, 24 years old, I mean, contrast him with one of his classmates, Brandon Cisse, who isn't even legally allowed to drink. He's only 20. So will in any way, does that help him deal with the ups, the downs, the, oh my God, I can't believe I'm getting this opportunity. Does that help him? And how much does it help him?
I mean, you're asking a question that's fairly obvious to answer yes, because I think anything in life, experience is always going to help you. Does it mean that it's going to push you over the top? No, but of course, the more mature you are and the more physically you're built, the more mentally that you're in a great position, you're going to be better suited to handle what is thrown at you. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's why you're seeing in college football, and you're going to see more of these stories where guys are 24, 25 years old going to the pros, and it's a huge difference of maturity and physical build and all of the things that you're looking for. When you're asking a rookie to start, those are the things you're most concerned about as an organization is, I don't know if he's mature enough to handle negativity. I don't want to lose his confidence, all those things.
Right.
You're 24, 25, man. You are what you are. This is like the old Daryl Bevel Mormon mission type deals where guys are coming in 25, 26, and you're like, he might be too old to draft. It actually skews the other way because you're going to have more of a finished product in a guy that's 24, 25. They already have kind of lived through it, and they're much more apt and capable of playing earlier because it's not that early in their actual career arc.
And look, this is also a guy who played roughly 50 college football games too. So he is definitely in a different position than maybe some of the other members of his draft class. All right, we'll get to Woe Nelly coming up. Packers continuing their 11-on-11 work inside the Don Hutson Center. Want to remind you again that hopefully you never have to make the call to Gruber Law Offices. Never. I don't want you to call them because that means you've never been seriously injured in an accident. But if you are injured, that is the call you have to make because they are the best in the business. They have the track record. They have the proven case after case after case that they've won over the last four decades. So go to the website to find out more at gruber-law.com. Or if you have been injured, make the call, 414-276-6666, 414-276-6666. Gruber Law Offices, one call. That's all. We go to Jesse Nelson and make the call for Woe Nelly next, so stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Packers practice rolls on, so does Wilde and Tausch with Woe Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Siraco's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back five of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Woe Nelly
on Wilde and Tausch.
Are we experiencing the greatest combination Stanley Cup and NBA Finals of all time? Carolina Hurricanes and the Vegas Golden Knights. Every game has felt like it's been an instant classic. I watched a lot of the one last night. Hurricanes win it to tie it at two apiece. Spurs and Knicks, the Knicks back in the finals. Madison Square Garden, all the celebrities out again tonight. Game four. Wemby's emergence, the brand of the Knicks. To me, it's the best combination of the two since...
Come on, Tommy.
Like 2013 or 14 when LeBron was with the Heat and the Blackhawks, I think, were playing the Boston Bruins. And that felt like a big Stanley Cup. That feels like the last time both were as big as they are this year combined.
No, you're palming it. Jason's right. The Gretzky with the LA Kings and the Jordan Bulls was kind of a big deal back in the early 90s. Tell me. All right, Jesse, I'm going to prove my point here. Tell me the two stars for the big teams that are in the NHL Stanley Cup.
Tortorella is the coach of the Vegas Golden Knights.
Nope. Tell me. Just name a player.
Yeah.
Jordan Staal, Jesse.
No, I can't do Staal. No, I cannot name
him. Varner? I feel like there's a Varner for...
Fred Varner.
Vegas?
I'd say this. This is the kind of hockey fan I am, which I am not. But if I hear the names, I'd be like, oh, yeah. I know who we're talking about. But off the top of my head, can I name a Carolina Hurricane? No, I cannot.
And you didn't know Staal, who had the game-winning goal last night, right?
Yep.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Okay. Whoa, Nelly. Your point is just, yeah, I get what you're doing.
Whoa, Nelly!
You're bringing up because you want to talk a little NBA, you want to talk a little NHL, but the best ever, like, come on now. Come on now. Now, I do think the fact that it's New York and they haven't won a championship in forever and that you have a lot of casuals that are interested in that and the fact New York's the biggest media market. And the biggest star in the NBA is Wemby right now. So there's a lot of intrigue. And if they could get that 2-2 after four games, it's going to be a big number that's going to be watching these games. NHL hockey, it's great, great hockey. It's been fun. But nah, you proved my point.
Indeed you did.
Whoa, Nelly. Yeah.
Whoa, Nelly!
Jesse, are you just boycotting? What are you doing?
Yeah, well, you're laughing at me. I thought you might have more to say.
It was funny. No, it was just funny. It's kind of rude. Go, please continue.
Brewers.
Are you picking a trivia winner? I swear, I just
no.
Heard,
that was Tausch.
Chips.
That was Tausch in his undisclosed location, putting his sunglasses on. Why did you go sunglasses indoors?
Sun's starting to kick in pretty heavy here in Milwaukee.
Interesting. Brewers and Athletics, the finale in Vegas tonight. Not going to lie, I'm having remorse not looking further into going to one of these games after they've been showing the drone shots of the Las Vegas ballpark and the amount of home runs that have been hit. I wish I would have done a little further investigation into making this my first trip ever to Las Vegas. It is now, since I've been to Boston... Vegas is number one on my top of my board. I technically went when I was a kid, but it was like I was at a terrible age where you were too old for the kid stuff and too young for the adult stuff. So I'm not counting it like I really went. So Vegas is
Your parents went without you for your birthday?
Yes. Vegas is number one where I want to go in the United States next.
Okay.
I heard their stadium was an abomination, though.
The baby stadium is. The new stadium, I'm sure they'll fix the jet stream issues that they've been dealing with this week. What's the number one place in the United States you want to go next, each of you?
West Virginia for me. Haven't been. That's where I want to go.
What's that place called? The
Greenbrier.
The Greenbrier, yeah.
Yeah, actually, we're going out there this summer at some point, and we're not going to Greenbrier. So take that for what it's worth.
We have not been to Eugene, Oregon since 2019. I would like to go back there. That's the place I would like to go next. But I think the next place I'll end up going is probably Pittsburgh during training camp.
Oh, is that happening now?
We're working on it. Efforting.
All right.
Hopeful.
I'm going to parlay that into going to West Virginia, I think. So,
that'll
work.
Take
me
home.
I think we can pull that off.
Country roads. All right. That is Woe Nelly. Something like that. Yeah.
Mount Country Roads. Interesting. Gotcha.
Number one go-to karaoke song.
Packers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doing some 7-on-7, which Matt LaFleur doesn't like, but they've got a number of guys playing with injuries. There's seven guys on the field. Edgerrin Cooper, Zaire Franklin, Keyshawn Nixon, who has now, at least for this snap, been replaced by Brandon Cisse, for those of you that are down on Keyshawn, based on the responses to yesterday's tweet from Cheesehead TV. Evan Williams, Xavier McKinney, Javon Bullard, and Carrington Valentine. Those are your seven defensive players right now. But Keyshawn was in first and now getting some work for Brandon Cisse. We will wrap things up from practice and from Tausch's undisclosed location. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
We're on the Packers.
There's more question marks now.
Because we're on Wisconsin sports.
There's just more uncertainty with this group than there was even pre-Micah last year.
Nobody covers the green and gold like 100.5 ESPN.
I think we covered the clip of the day at the start of the show. I don't think we need to go back to that. Instead, Packers still thin at corner, by the way. Benjamin St. Juice is not practicing. Brandon Cisse is not practicing. No, Brandon Cisse is. Domani Jackson is not. So they've got Cisse. Okay. They've got Keyshawn Nixon. They've got Carrington Valentine. And then after that, a lot of guys that are facing challenging odds to make the roster. But they do have Javon Bullard at their slot position. And Tausch, I think something we should do tomorrow is he just had a huge interception. I mean, it was a phenomenal interception on a pass to Christian Watson from Jordan Love. He is my guy to have that breakthrough season. Like where he really elevates in what will be year three for him. I'm curious, how many of these guys have to have that kind of year for these guys to get to where they want to go? And maybe we can spend some time tomorrow pinpointing who those guys are that are really poised for a breakout year after all of our debate with Homer about where Lucas Van Ness is and whether he is who he is or there's a chance he can get better.
Yeah, Devontae Wyatt would be somebody. I don't know if you could say he's broken through yet. He's shown flashes, yeah, but
injuries.
Have someone like him, and there's a lot of guys. Bullard, I think, is another good one. Evan Williams broke through last year. Who has already broken through? Who are our guys that are breakthrough already? Tucker Kraft broke through last year. I think Evan Williams broke through. You need to have two or three guys, I think, every year. Maybe it could be our buddy number 5-2, Burton. Maybe he's going to be a breakthrough. Yeah.
So
you need to have a few guys that you're not expecting to play at a high level pop. Those are your difference makers that can make you a good playoff team to be in a world championship team.
I don't care enough about Homer's opinion to call him tomorrow to ask him this follow-up question, but maybe I'll mention it to him on his show when I join him tonight. If he's arguing that Lucas Van Ness is most likely who he is, then I'd be really curious what he thinks of Devontae Wyatt, who was drafted a year before Lucas Van Ness was. So maybe I'll bring that up with him.
Yeah, he can't get any better because he's
it's too late.
In.
Yeah, it's You're over. Stuck. Yeah. All right. That's it for us today. We will do it again tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.